With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hahn.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to Underwater Hell.
Yay!
Yay! It's actually awesome.
Welcome to the underwater world that we're in this week. It's awesome.
We're swimming. It's wonderful. We're so excited.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Thank you.
We thank you guys so much for being here with us and, you know, talking about these movies, good or bad. Mostly bad.
Yeah, and even the good ones we talk about, there's bad stuff in it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a great movie, but we'll talk about it. There's a lot of problems.
Very weird problems.
Especially the end.
I have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of your reviews on Apple Podcast. We appreciate you. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Thank you for just being yourself.
Absolutely. Yes.
But yes, we are on Patreon. Thank you for not asking. Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. YouGotHeigld. We talk 90 Day Fiancé. We do some games. We play Plotsy, where I show James a movie poster he's never seen, and he tells me what the movie may be about, according to him.
I'm never right for some reason.
Never right at all.
I feel like I am when I'm saying it, but then it's not right.
A lot of people get stabbed in James's world.
I mean, that's what happens in the world.
I guess. We also like make your own rom-com. And this week we're going to talk about Below Deck because we are absolutely obsessed with Below Deck.
A lot of controversy going on.
A lot of controversy.
Below Deck Med there.
Yeah.
Somebody getting fired.
Did
she get fired for having an anxiety problem, or was it a drug issue, or was someone shitty? We'll talk about it.
Someone's got prescribed Valium on a boat, and the captain's not happy about it.
We're going to talk about it for like an hour.
Is it because she doesn't like Hannah, or is it because she doesn't? She wants to make sure the boat's safe. Doesn't matter. We'll talk about it next week.
If they looked over the side of the boat, what would they see?
Water.
And? Daryl Hannah.
Oh, I'm like water. I wasn't thinking about it in terms of the rom-coms. I'm like water.
Clearly. Clearly.
What's wrong with you? Did you have a stroke?
But
no,
fits.
I'm
the
one
below
that
deck
had a stroke.
Fits in with
I
the
understand.
Whole theme this
That's
week.
Why we're going to talk about it. It's all
we're
very
going
nautical.
Nautical.
It's all very nautical. This last week, we watched the movie The Wedding Date with Deborah Messing and Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah,
and James
one.
Loved it. It was his favorite movie in the whole world. He wanted to watch
Jesus.
It all week this week. He's like, can we watch it again? He woke me up at like 6 o'clock
in the morning.
Tried
to wipe it clean from my memory. I hated
He's
that
like,
movie.
Can we watch it again? Can we watch it again? But this week, we watched the movie that James picked. It was Splash.
Yeah, it's a my pick. Mm-hmm. This movie, let me just quickly here. This movie was very, very near and dear to me as a child.
Yes.
See, like
and
I had.
As an adult.
And as well, yeah, but I haven't seen it in a long time. But I had a few movies as a kid in the 80s when I was little, like VHS tapes. And one of them happened to be Splash.
Yeah.
Splash, Beverly Hills Cop. So a lot of everything that I watched them, that's all I had. So I watched them 100 times a day, just as much as I could watch them. And I had kind of a shit childhood, too. So, you know, it was a good escape there. So it was Beverly Hills Cop and Splash have formed me a great deal here.
Oh.
So it's a very near and dear movie to my heart. I've seen it hundreds of times.
Well, that's good because we watched it again today. And don't forget, next week we are having a week off. It's our bye week.
Yes.
Don't ask about us. We're dead to the world. We're mer people now.
That's right. Okay? We'll be underwater
next
exploring.
Next week we are mer people. And then for our 50th episode, we are going to do Grease 2.
Jesus.
Because we wanted to celebrate. We thought that we should have a spectacular event. So it's the pageantry, James, the pageantry.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Get your gowns and grab your crowns because Grease 2 on the 50th
Grease
episode.
Two.
All right.
So let's get into Splash.
But that's okay because now I'm having a lot of problems with this movie. I just want to get into it. And it, I haven't watched it since I was younger. So yeah. It was one of those movies where I was like, what is going on here?
Well, yeah.
And it makes sense. So it's Splash 1984. An hour and 51 minutes, but you are on
it's
a ride
fine.
The whole time.
Yeah, it's
great. It's fine. It's
Tom
John
Hanks.
Candy. It's Tom Hanks. It's everything. Starring Tom Hanks, Daryl Hannah, and John Candy. The IMDb description, a young man is reunited with a mermaid who saved him from drowning as a boy.
That's
he falls
true.
In love with her, not knowing who or what she is.
True. Very, all that
kind
happened.
Kind of, but it really just like...
They skip a lot. It's,
yeah.
But I mean, it's a brief synopsis.
And
you really have to get into detail to understand.
And again, I have a lot of problems with... So he wasn't drowning. He jumped off the boat and was like
and then
mesmerized
couldn't swim,
by the... No, but like he saw the mermaid girl and he was like, okay, like I love this person. And then...
Yeah. But then when she touched him, then he was okay.
Yeah, we need to we need to discuss
there's
that
There's rules
too.
To okay. this world.
The tagline, they're so... The taglines here are very strange, so...
It should just be... Well, it was too early, but if right now, if you wanted someone to watch a movie, you'd be like, it's The Little Mermaid meets E.T.
Yeah, kind of.
It's exactly what it is. That's the movie. Little Mermaid meets E.T. You'd go, fuck, that's exactly what this movie
is. How do you know? You've never seen E.T.
I know what E.T. is. all right.
James is very bitter about E.T.
I know E.T. enough about it. It's
okay,
a long
here's
story.
Here's the tagline. He doesn't want to talk about it. Okay, the tagline. 2 days ago, this girl showed up naked at the Statue of Liberty. For Alan Bauer, it was love at first sight. Now everyone is chasing her, trying to prove she's a mermaid. From the first laugh, you'll be hooked. So I'm pretty sure that's not really supposed to be like
a tagline. That's not a log line. That's like what the guy says in the trailer. You know, that's like what the voiceover is for
the
trailer.
This one I thought was...
Alan Bauer.
This one needs... this one, you need context because it's... Alan Bauer thought he'd never find the right woman. He was only half wrong.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That's not a good thing to say. Okay, and then the last tagline is, she was the woman of his dreams. She had large, dark eyes, a beautiful smile, and a great pair of fins.
Eh? Hey.
Hey.
All right, well,
okay.
There you go.
No, she did not have large, dark eyes. She had... Blue
Does
eyes.
Daryl
She's
Hannah?
Fine.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell color eyes Daryl okay. Hannah has. Who knows?
The fun fact is Ron Howard, he's the director of this movie, but he turned down directing duties of Mr. Mom, 1983, and Footloose in order to make this movie.
Which, and
a gift.
Turned out to be a good move
a
on
gift,
his part. Though.
Yeah, a gift
it was good.
To us.
Yes. And that's, I have to say, the Ron Howard here, and, you know, I didn't really realize Ron Howard directed this. Obviously, when I was a kid, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite movies
James
of all
is
time.
Like, ooh, a Ron Howard
is this a Ron Howard film? Okay. Ooh, Baba Lou Mandel wrote it.
Get me when it's a Ron Howard film.
When I was, but now even Night Shift is like one of my favorite comedies of all time, which is Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton, you know, running a small pimpery, if
you
will.
Batman?
Brothel where they are, they run a brothel out of a not a brothel they run like a
yeah I understand
they run prostitutes out of the morgue where they work at night, and it's Ron Howard's first movie that he directed, and it's written by the same guy who wrote this, Babalu Mandel. So that sensibility I really enjoy. I like the rhythm. I like that old New York. I like that early 80s dirty filthy New York. It's fascinating.
Okay, so let's just get into it, because I have a lot of questions about this movie. There's a lot about the universe that I would like to know more, not only just, you know, of mermaidhood, but also the produce.
The produce business.
The produce business.
That's a lot
I have a lot of questions
there.
About it. Okay, but anyway, any movie that starts with Wooly Bully is a good movie.
That's good.
And so we get like a sepia tone, like black and white, because it's supposed to show this is Cape Cod 20 years ago.
Yeah, 1964 it's supposed to be.
And I love that because they put like a sepia tone on it and it's like, nah, it's the past.
Now it's the past. Yeah,
and
hey,
everyone's on a boat and they're all dancing to Wooly Bully.
Yeah, it's like, you know, your typical kind of early 60s.
They're on deck. There's a family.
Everybody's twisting.
There's kids on deck, and one of the kids throws quarters and coins on the ground so he can look up ladies' skirts.
There's a little fat kid and a little skinny kid.
And one of them is Freddie. So the mom says, Freddie, And then she says, Ralph, talk to him. And I love that the dad slapped him. And then she goes, listen to your
father. Listen to your father. Yeah. Slapped him in the back
that
of the head.
Such a, that's such a good representation of like what parenting was like in the 60s. Talk to you it's like.
That, there you go. I talked
like,
to him.
Yeah, like in A Christmas Story when when Ralphie says the F word.
Yeah, yeah.
And then... Wait till your father hears this. Like, yeah. If my mom were to have said that to me when I was a kid, I'd have been like, I think I'm probably going to be in trouble, but it's not going to be that bad.
Oh, well, he said the F word to his father.
No. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
that's right.
Story.
But what was the other?
The
you
lug
know what?
Nuts went everywhere.
I don't want to talk about Christmas Story because I do love that movie.
That's a good one, too. But this.
There's
this is
child the- Tom Hanks, and he's looking over. He's looking to the left where he sees water and he's looking overboard and he like, I guess just jumps.
It seems like it. He just like, he definitely jumps. It's definitely on purpose.
He decides to jump overboard for some reason.
Well, this.
Well, okay. So, because I didn't.
Let me say something. This is a statement I have to make. It's a hard thing to say.
Okay.
This movie proves a very hard rumor about Tom Hanks.
Okay.
That, you know, hear it in dark corners of the internet. People have rumors about Hollywood stars and things, but this movie proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's a pescophile. There's no doubt about it. He's a pescophile.
Okay. How long have you been sitting on that joke?
About 10 seconds, but you usually appreciate wordplay.
Wordplay
so
is good.
You never mind. Okay, thank you.
What are you talking about? I said wow.
Yeah, usually you, if that was you, you'd be like, come on, give me something. But no. Fine.
I said wow because I wasn't expecting it. That was good. I appreciated it.
Thank you. Moving on.
Yeah. How dare you tell me that my reaction wasn't good enough? She
you looked like
just,
I.
Just wait until I ask him
she
the next
looked
time
like
to
I,
appreciate my joke.
She looked like I offered to sell her an umbrella in the middle of the desert. Like I walked up and said,
no, I didn't. I was in awe. I was excited
umbrella,
about the
like,
wordplay joke.
I don't really think it's going to rain. No, thank you.
I would take an umbrella if you were selling it.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
So there you go.
I got
How about
a couple
that?
Upstairs. We'll sell it to you later.
Great. Okay. So a child Tom Hanks jumps overboard and he is just, he must have seen something because otherwise why would he jump overboard unless like just he was completely
saw glimmering.
Magnetized to child Daryl Hannah.
He saw glimmering in the water. There was a glimmer off of her tail.
Oh,
I believe,
okay.
Is what
and
happened.
So he just jumped in there.
He was like, what's that? And it like
okay.
He was drawn to it.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. Because
like much like fish to like a spinner bait.
It was also in like a sepia tone type thing, so it really wasn't like...
He was always meant to be a fish. So he saw a shiny object and he just dove after it without thought. That's what fish do. They just go after bait. So I feel like maybe that's the thing.
So that's why he could never find love. All right, so child Daryl Hannah holds his hands and she smiles at him, which... I think we're meant to believe he's going to be okay because she smiles at him.
And then he smiles.
But that could also be concerning if somebody underwater is smiling at you. Like, you're going to die now.
Yeah. Like, but then it seemed like, I'm fine now.
Yeah,
like
it's because child Daryl Hannah smiled, so we felt comfort.
Yeah, she was clearly transferring oxygen through his hand holding. That's how it worked. So,
but then, so she saved him, right? And then he gets rescued. Somebody jumps overboard and they rescue him. Now, she's very sad because he's okay. But so that makes me wonder, was she trying to transform him into a fish when he was very young?
I think she's like
she looks devastated.
Well, that's what the sailors talk about, like these mermaid sirens. And I think that's what it was supposed to be. Like he was attracted to like this child mermaid siren.
And she's like, I found myself a boyfriend.
And I think she was like another kid to talk to and hang out with. Like she's lonely down. Clearly, there's no other mer children or people down there with her. I haven't seen her interact with any other mer people.
No.
Not one. So it seems like she's like a one of a kind.
A lot of unanswered questions
she's
where
very lonely.
Daryl Hannah is from.
Yeah, I think she saw a little boy and she was like, oh, he's about my age. This is great. Well, like we can be people and
so
hang out.
This is my first question. Yeah. You'd think that she would be like, oh, good. I'm glad that I saved that person. And now that, because I like him or whatever. And now he's going to go be able to live and whatever. But she doesn't look happy that he's living. She's like immediately like, no, you stole my friend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because he was okay under there, too.
I think she was trying to fish him.
Yeah, yeah. She wanted him to stay down there.
She wanted him to be a fish.
Yeah, she's lonely.
Yeah.
They're like, there's a lot of people up there. There's only one of me. Give me him.
Imagine if you're a 10-year-old kid and you're on a boat. And there's like a mermaid How many times do you think that, you know, that's like a once in a...
Not a lot. Doesn't happen often.
She just like caught like a just a little glimmer of him and she's like, that's my guy.
Well, I think maybe most kids just don't jump in the water after the glimmer. We're spending way too much time on this part.
Yeah, but I have a lot of questions about it because I want to know her intentions.
There's way more.
I want to know Daryl Hannah's intentions.
I think we just went over her intentions. I think her intentions are
trying
that,
to murder Tom Hanks. No,
he's okay under there. Why is that murder? They would be fine.
No, like murder, like M-E-R-D-E-R.
Merman-ize him?
Yeah, murder him.
Okay, I get it. So that's fine. Yeah, I think that's she's trying to draw him in so she can have a friend down there. I feel like that's what it is. And he's like, cool.
She's recruiting.
He seems to be pretty miserable with life up above. So he's like, whatever. That seems better.
Yeah. Well, now we know that this is definitely a comedy movie because now the card says New York City this morning.
Yeah.
All right. So
right
it's
now.
Not like it's not 20 years ago in Cape Cod anymore.
No.
It's this morning.
Today. Shots, 100 shots of the Twin Towers in this movie. Every establishing we're in New York shot, which is every shot.
Yeah.
Is
I was going to say that's kind of a big part
of it. Towers and moon.
Skyline. Yep. Yeah, a lot of moon.
But it's always like between the two towers with the moon. Yeah. They show that shot in variations 100 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a lot of different.
Every transition.
Filters, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're on a loading dock. Tom Hanks has a clipboard. He's looking very official. Someone is screaming at him. I love that this guy got paid to just scream, where are my cherries? So he's screaming, where are my cherries? Where are my cherries? And that's what he got paid for. I was like, what a great job.
And that guy's in everything,
yeah,
too.
He's awesome.
One of those guys where you're like, oh, that guy who's in everything.
But the clipboard looks this, and like the clipboard busy man is very 80s. Somebody always has a clipboard. Everyone's always screaming at them, hey, you know, but you have a clipboard and you're in charge of things. And
I miss the world of these like late 70s, early 80s movies where like in these movies, anybody who's like in an office is in constant motion and there's always five people talking. There's a phone ringing. It's him. Hey, how you doing? Come on over here. And he's got writing some sign and something while he's talking. Hey, get over here. Click, clack.
The receptionist is always baddie as well.
Yeah, he's grabbing his keys. There's paperwork everywhere. Nothing's ever now.
If you system,
yeah. Now every office is like clean desktop, computer screen. You know that's it. One note, everything is clean, organized.
Yeah,
when the phone rings
straight
once,
out
it
of
goes
a magazine.
Yeah, whereas back then it was like, hey, all right. It was every fucking
red
office
carpet with red couch. So instead of the like modern and minimalist office, we have the red shag carpet with the red velvet couch.
And it's very authentic too.
Fish tank and
like all the acoustic tile in the ceilings. He's always, he's got he's attracted
and
to
he
it.
He has a fish tank in his house.
Like all the acoustic tiles have brown stains on them. Like it looks like a shitty, like fruit person office, not like a, produce.
Tom Hanks deals with produce. And I love his, like, his New York accent goes in and out in this movie. So some of the parts
he
like,
doesn't really.
Hey, what are you doing? And other times he's just Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah, he doesn't really have it much. It just kind of, because neither does John Candy either.
No,
it's just kind of like.
Every once in a while they turn it on and then that's it.
Yeah.
And like it's just like a couple of words. Like
yeah. It's almost in a sarcastic way.
Yeah, like it's whatever. But anyway, so
it's almost like speaking the language at that point. Like even if you don't talk like that, if somebody cuts you off in 1984 in New York, you go, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And then you go back to what you're doing. You're like, now I was saying.
Yeah. And then that's like I'm a very calm person right now. But anyway, so as James just said, there's everyone talking at him. Hey, I got to pull you over here. Hey, you know, what's going on with this?
Da, 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 da.
Where are my cherries? Oh, boss, the phone's ringing. And hi, honey. No, I'm very busy. And he's like arguing with the cherries guy who's never like saying anything except for where
I
are
want my cherries.
Cherries.
I'm going to ruin you if you don't get me my cherries.
So John Candy apparently agreed to buy. Oh, the cherries are slimy.
Yeah, okay. He goes in.
So
they're very
he's
slimy.
Like, no, they're not good. These are snails on stems. I'm not going to be giving that to him. And the guy says that that your brother agreed to buy the slimy cherries because he lost at poker. Or no, the guy that works there said that.
Yeah, and so, he said, the guy with the cherries is like, he had two pair, I had a flush, and, he didn't have any money, so we worked this out. That's what it was. You buy my shit cherries.
So John Candy, he drives a Corvette. He's in a...
It's a Trans Am.
It's a
Trans Am. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a red Trans Am.
I was not paying that much attention to it.
It looks it's Vetti though. It's a Vetti looking Trans Am.
He's got like a fucking like a velvet jacket, like a sport coat on.
Scarf.
It's red. He's got a scarf. His shirt's unbuttoned.
He's a playboy.
And he's carrying a bunch of copies of Penthouse magazine. And like on his desk, there's like a mug that's the shape of a boob with a nipple on it. Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, we get it. You're a pervert.
And he gets a burst from the car with the Penthouse is saying, they printed my letter. They printed my letter. And the letter was Lesbian No More, which was his, I guess, tale of making a lesbian want him for some reason. That seemed like what John Candy was getting at.
Okay.
So right away, they're telling you who he is
now. Yeah, he's a scumbag. So. Yeah.
Well, he's the kid who was dropping change and looking up skirts. So.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. So they're, more aware of my cherries. Tom Hanks tells him, like, hey, listen, you're not going to want these cherries. They're not up to snuff. How about I'll give you some bananas at cost? And he's like, all right, that's cool. Give me some bananas. And then Tom Hanks tells one of his underlings, hey, set this guy up with bananas at cost. But even this guy's busy because he's got to go get married. So everybody's very busy.
Everybody's got five other things going on.
I'm trying to have, he's like, hey, set him up with this. And he goes, hey, boss, I got to get married later. Like,
yeah, no, remember, I got to leave early.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, can you just help him with the bananas? Stop fucking telling me how busy you are. The guy was screaming about his cherries. Now he wants bananas. Like, just give him the stuff.
How does anything get done over here is what I'm getting at. Everybody's got to leave early. Everybody's got a phone call from somebody else. Some people are getting married. It's too much.
So this was upsetting to me because it's obviously Bauer produce, okay? So Tom Hanks and John Candy's last name in this movie is Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they inherited from their dad. But, like, we don't know what type of business. Are they, like, are they a big business? Are they an up-and-coming business? Are they, like, trying to...
We don't know their operation going on there.
Yeah,
a lot
but
of
we don't know what their...
I mean, I haven't seen their books or anything.
Trials and tribulations are, like, have they always been fucking really on top of their produce game? Are they the best of the best?
It seems to me Tom Hanks is the studious one.
Yeah,
and John Candy's out fucking around spending money. He's talking about, I was here last night,
yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, but he also got the major supermarket
chain.
He did.
Well, that's when he starts to transition into when they kind of flip-flop there for a while.
So John Candy says that he went out for drinks and dinner with this major supermarket chain owner guy, and he said that he got Bauer produce to be, they're going to be the new suppliers for all of the whole chain of supermarkets.
And then he says,
I lied about some stuff. I told him that you were in Vietnam and
you're injured in Vietnam.
And you were injured in Vietnam. And Tom Hanks is like, oh my God.
And then he says, Do we do fruits and vegetables or just fruit? And then
so
he was like, he doesn't even know what he sold the guy.
Clearly, he has no idea what they even do or anything like that.
He's been there for years. He just stops in, fucks with Tom Hanks for a little while, talks to people and leaves. That's his job.
He's there to cause chaos and then leave. Tom Hanks gets another phone call. It's his girlfriend, Victoria. She's on the phone. And apparently she's like moving out of the apartment like right now.
Yeah, like, she's like lifting boxes.
Lifting boxes and then like wanted to make sure to make a phone call. Like, oh,
of the tape like fucking being pulled off the roll.
I'm moving right now. And I'm like, wow. And that's what I've noticed, that rom-coms always do that. They try to set up this like really tragic situation.
Yeah.
So they always make, like, especially if it's a dude, and his girlfriend is leaving, it is fucking devastating. She's just packing up and leaving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if it's the other way around.
Like, no explanation.
It's the other way around. The guy's got to die, like the Hilary Swank movie. That's how it works in the female role for some reason in a rom-com.
It has to be absolutely devastating.
Well, you have to overcome.
Yeah.
So that's why. So he's got to be in a hole.
She's just moving out. No explanation.
Nope.
But
well, there
she says, well, yeah, because the only explanation is, what do you mean, do I love you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. So then he's like, well, you moved in, didn't you? Like, just answer the question, Tom. Either you do or you don't.
It's a fact, but he's
and
clearly
already
been avoiding
it. Even if you said, yeah, she's still moving out.
Well, I think that's the crux of it, though. Maybe she'd reconsider if he said, well, yeah, I love you. She'd go, okay, well, that's what I was waiting for, because that's the whole reason she's moving out.
But instead, she flips it on him. Or no, he flips it on her, because he says, well, do you love me? And then she obviously probably said, like, not anymore, you asshole, and then hangs up the phone.
Or said yes and hung up, which would have been worse. Because then,
yeah,
like,
then
oh,
that's
now
really
I'm a real dick. I couldn't even do it, and she did it like
I
that.
I did. Yeah, exactly.
Shit, I suck.
So now we're outside of the church. I think it's at the guy's wedding that wouldn't take care of the bananas because
yeah.
he's too worried about that he has to leave early. Get it together.
Hanks
you're at work.
Hanks and Candy are ushers.
Yeah, John Candy throws some coins down on the ground to look up people's dresses. I love that Tom Hanks like picks him up, and he's like, it was embarrassing when you were 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's good, because yeah. we should fucking do that. We should call out.
Well, yeah.
Gross like, perverts who do shit like
Tom
that.
Tom Hanks in this public. Movie, honestly, is a pretty progressive character. Like,
yeah.
his character could be in a movie now and not get protested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't be like, this monster. He was yeah. very nice. He's considerate. He's not like, he's not trying to own anybody. He's
no.
Very progressive for 1984 for Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah.
So now this is, I love this. Everyone's asking, including John Candy, where's your girlfriend? Where's Victoria? So this poor Victoria, she started with the flu.
Yeah. First of all, she's sick.
And then she's sick. And then she has
terrible
the flu. Really bad.
Yeah.
And then she left me.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. She's being right. like Woody. He's being Woody from Toy Story. Yeah. She left me. Like,
he
he's screaming.
Out.
Are you happy?
You happy? Anywhere but the first three rows. Because they are ushers.
Yeah.
So he has to tell them that, which I love. He still does his job.
Yeah.
That's the little things in this movie why it's really good writing.
Yeah.
Because there'll be stuff like that, and then they'll just throw that little joke in there that you're like, oh, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So Tom Hanks and John Candy are at the bar after the wedding, and Tom Hanks has the realization that he's going to be alone and surrounded by a bunch of rotten fruit. So he decides that he's going to go to Cape Cod because he feels better out there. He likes to be by the water.
Yeah.
He just gets in a cab and goes. And that cab driver was abusive.
Well,
he slammed on the brake, and then he's like, don't break anything. It's like, you did this.
Early 80s New York City cab driver. That's what
they
did.
We should all go about our lives in public as if we were all 1980s New York City cab drivers.
You really, if we all, I kind of do, honestly, but other people should too.
The army was like, sir, you need to move your vehicle. And he goes, up yours.
He goes, up yours, Gomer. I'm waiting for a fare. Like, not my fucking problem. Yeah, literally troop carrier with
not moving for shit.
Machine gun uniform, machine gun carrying uniform soldiers.
I wish I had that energy. We meet Eugene Levy on the beach.
Yay,
Eugene Levy.
So, I mean, between Hanks, Candy, Eugene Levy, you're really getting some lovable fucking people in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is some damn good, fine people here.
So he's on the beach and he's unloading scientific equipment, you know, scuba gear and all of that stuff, on the boat with the moron twins, as he calls them.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is just, I guess the cab driver dropped him off like on the wrong side of the island or whatever. And he is asking Eugene Levy for a ride?
Because they have a boat. So he's like,
okay.
You're going out there, because they were loading the shit from a truck to a boat. Yeah.
Because I was like, wow, I'm like, he's just walking up to them like, is there anybody else on the beach or can I just get a ride from you guys?
He's
like, what?
Trying to get a boat ride out to the island.
So Eugene Levy thinks that Tom Hanks is trying to sabotage whatever the hell he's doing. He tells them to go. The moron twins tell Tom Hanks to go get a ride from some other guy. We meet Fat Jack. And it's this tiny little boat. Tom Hanks is afraid of the water. He can't swim.
The boat, by the way, Fat Jack is the guy driving. It's a little outboard motor.
Little, tiny boat.
So he's sitting by the motor and it's like tipped up completely in the air. And Tom Hanks is just like sitting up in the air because Fat Jack and the motor totally.
He's like, are you okay? No, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
But I really wish that we had some like really obvious kind of like Arrested Development type of explanation.
Some Ron Howard voiceover.
When Tom Hanks like jumps over when he's a child and he jumps overboard, I wish that the mom was like, he can't swim.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like,
he explains
sitting,
it.
Yeah,
here,
he
though.
Explains it here that he can't swim. But I would have loved it if they just always made it like
there's a T-shirt on that says
can't
I can't swim.
Swim. Yeah. And so the boat craps out because Fat Jack's trying to mess with Tom Hanks and scare him. Like, oh, you can't swim. So then he's going back and forth on the boat, like he's moving it with his body weight,
which is easy for him to do.
And I get he flooded the engine a little bit. He flooded the motor a little bit. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm really mechanical. So he takes a hammer and he's just kind of hammering it.
Beats it with a ball peen hammer for 5 seconds and then says, fuck it, and dives overboard.
Yeah. Just, and then we never hear about Fat Jack ever again.
He says, I'm going to go back and get another boat. And Tom Hanks is like, are you going to leave me out here? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's just a few miles. I can make it. I'll swim back. I'll get the little boat. And he's the little boat, because obviously they were in
but
a tiny
I just,
boat.
So that's, I wanted to know if Fat Jack was now, because this is like where Mermaid Land is.
Yeah.
So is Fat Jack a mermaid? Do you think maybe he knew about the mermaids and he's like, I'm just going to go and be with the mermaids?
Well, if he is, then Daryl Hannah's being very selfish because there are other mer people and
she's dragging
Tom Hanks down there.
Right. But why couldn't we see Fat Jack at the end of the movie?
Probably because he was only in it for 30 seconds, but I would have liked to have seen a Fat Jack comeback.
Yeah, I wanted to see like a cameo of Fat Jack. Hashtag
where is Fat Jack, everybody?
Bring back Fat Jack.
We need to know where he is. What happened
hashtag
to Fat Jack?
Bring back Fat Jack.
If you ever run into Ron Howard, go, what happened to Fat Jack? He'll go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I want to know Fat Jack's story. We can... Ron Howard. I have the best idea for
his whole career. Everything from being Opie to
just
like...
Just do like a...
Huge movies.
Nothing. This your new purpose in life is Fat Jack. And that's going to be a whole movie about Fat Jack becoming a mermaid or whatever he's doing.
Whatever he does.
Yeah.
He could do anything. Fat Jack could go anywhere.
He could be like a serial killer.
You could go anywhere with that movie. He's a character.
So anyway, holler at us if you want to talk to us about what this movie could be about. Okay. So Fat Jack jumps out of the boat. He goes in to swim a couple miles. Eugene Levy sees Tom Hanks from his binoculars, and he's like, I told you that he was spying on me.
Yeah, Eugene Levy thinks Tom Hanks is like a rival scientist who's trying to spy on his research. That's the thing here. Eugene Levy is paranoid. Usually Eugene Levy is like nebbish in movies, and he's just kind of like, he is all aggression.
I
want to
watch Best in Show.
I do too. First half of this movie, he's all aggression. Yeah. He's screaming at everybody.
And at the end, he's like, he gets humanized.
Yeah.
He gets humanized, and then Tom Hanks becomes a fish.
He gets
spoiler alert. Yeah. Okay. So Eugene Levy thinks that Tom Hanks is spying on him. So they're like, I don't know, he's like,
yelling at him.
Yelling at the moron twins to try to do something to Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks accidentally fixes the boat because he hits the motor with a ball peen hammer, but he like falls out of the boat.
He's standing up when he pulls on the outboard motor thing, and when it starts, it takes off and it flips him over.
Yeah, so he gets, and then
the
boat
turns into Jaws. The boat turns into Jaws and like circles him and then comes right at him.
The boat is circling him, which is weird because the boat would not drive in a circle.
It's 100% sentient at this point. The boat becomes an evil, like Christine-like character that is coming right
rudder,
for Tom Hanks.
Oh, I don't know, because maybe the rudder was
if it was stuck,
it
would have been. But then it would have been in a circle, because then it fixed itself and stopped and squared up with Tom Hanks and came right at him. So,
if it gets, I'm sure the rudder would move a little
bit. I guess. It defied a lot of laws here of physics and, how outboard motor works.
So I don't know.
That's the
other
thing.
So the boat hits him in the head, and then his wallet falls out on the coral.
Yeah,
it
floats down.
Yeah. And someone saves him.
Yeah, he wakes up on the sand.
He wakes up on the sand. We see Daryl Hannah, and she is, spying on him from the bushes.
She's like a peeping Tom, pervy, but she's a naked chick. So this is the first time you've ever seen a naked chick peeping from behind bushes.
Yeah, and
it's never happened in the history of the world.
Because Tom Hanks was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Naked chicks don't have to peep behind anything. Naked chicks could go right in they could knock on your door and you'd be like, hi, how you doing? What can I do for you?
I'd be like, whoa, what are you doing? Why are you nude?
Yeah, you're a woman.
And then I would probably think that it was a nude beach, and then I'd be like, oh, God, I gotta get out of here.
I would think, am I in a nude beach in a tuxedo? Because this is weird.
Yeah.
This is going to look strange.
So she is on legs, and you know from the cover of this movie that Daryl Hannah is a mermaid. So if you don't know that she's a mermaid, now you do. I'm sorry, she's a mermaid.
You've had 36 years to see the movie also.
So she just comes up to him, kisses him, and then jumps back in the water. And
No words spoken from her.
No words spoken. And obviously she's got some shame because she's like hiding behind the bushes in hopes that he doesn't see her.
And her
then
hair covers her boobs for the whole movie.
Yeah.
She's got like magical.
Well, that's because it's mermaid. Mermaids are supposed to have long, flowy hair.
What if her boobs are covered in long hair and it's just not known until that? What if that's it? What if she's
maybe she's got like a nice bob?
Yeah. And then the hair just goes over it.
And then it just all goes together. Yeah, we have no idea. We have no idea.
Covered in just a thick carpet of blonde hair.
But she kisses him, and then she jumps back in the water, and he's just like, how can I call you? Which,
who are you? What's your name?
So she goes, and she finds Tom Hanks's wallet exactly. She's looking at his address, like where he lives. There we go.
She's got her whole aerial. This is where it's also like Little Mermaid. She takes the wallet.
Yeah, she's down there. She's a mermaid, and
she's
going
got this
around.
Shipwreck.
And, like,
thing and she's got like her maps are up there and she takes the wallet in there.
Well, because she runs into Eugene Levy underwater and he's like, oh my God, it's a mermaid. I told you there's a mermaid. And So then she swims away, and then she goes to the sunken ship. She finds a bunch of maps.
Yeah.
She's annoyed by a turtle, which I loved.
It's a great little piece of directing there. The turtle swims by, and she's like,
this turtle swimming, and
she just gives it this dirty look like asshole. Yeah. Like you'd give somebody at the grocery store who, like, you know, buzzed you with their cart. You'd be like, schmuck, like, what the fuck?
So
she opens up her map that she has from the shipwreck. And it's a whole, like, it's like an aerial thing. These are her treasures that she's collected. And she finds out where he is. She finds out New York.
How long do you think this ship has been down there?
Clearly a while. There's shit that's grown thick on it.
And what are these maps made out of?
They probably are made of fabric back then, actually.
Yeah.
So I would assume the ink would have come off of them by now in a saltwater environment. Yeah. But you know what? You got to suspend more than a little bit of disbelief for this movie.
Turtles are probably annoying.
She was.
I don't know. I've never had to exist with a turtle. Like,
she
not
was,
like in a anything at my house or anything like that. I just mean, I don't know what they're like.
She does have a tail that turns into legs kind of at will. So it's the rules here.
There's a lot of rules that I'd like to know about the mermaid. So she keeps saying that she's like, I've got 3 days left, I've got 5 days left.
Apparently you have a week, it seems like. You have a week if you're a mermaid. You can come up on land and be fine if you're not in the ocean just for a week. And then you have to return or else your tail scales off, like what happened later on in those tanks.
Oh.
I think that's the deal. But they never clearly express it.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, we don't know.
By the way, this was nominated for an Oscar for Best Screenplay.
Understood. So, I loved it, so it's great.
That's the thing. The comedy and everything in it is so great. It's just that the heads and tail of it is so, no pun intended, is so fucking ridiculous.
You are so full of puns today.
I did not mean to that time, but the front and back of this movie are like, what is happening here? What are we doing?
I am shocked.
Yeah.
James never does puns. Okay.
I didn't. That wasn't on purpose.
You did it on purpose.
Yeah.
All right. So Daryl Hannah is going to New York. She has found a map of New York. She only looked through like one or two of them. So Yahtzee, we got the New York map right away.
Boom.
So here we go. Who knows when this is from?
She's got his driver's license and she sees New York.
We don't know what year this fucking boat
doesn't matter.
You know, sank.
New York existed. We know that much.
Well, I know that.
That's all we know.
But was it? So she gets up to Statue of Liberty. She's nude. Everyone's taking pics with her.
Bocce balls.
Yeah, I love the cops take her away and everyone starts booing the cops.
Yeah.
Like, boo!
Boo!
And I was like, wow, that's like the most New York thing ever.
The Statue of Liberty tour guide's there and he's like, it's the Statue of Liberty. It was a present from the French people and it's become a beacon to naked ladies all around the world. And then they all turn around and he screams, bocce balls, and everybody.
Naked lady on the brain.
And they're all like taking pictures with her and shit. It's strange.
So the cops take her away. They give her a t-shirt. Tom Hanks is back at his office. His head is all bandaged, which is funny because the guy from the supermarket is supposed to come.
He thinks he's got a Vietnam War wound.
And John Candy thinks that Tom Hanks is really committing to like the thing. So he's like, hey, look at this.
So he told him a grenade went off in his helmet. That was the fucking, was the war wound that he got.
He was really excited that he was taking it seriously.
The guy even asked, is it still bothering you? Because he got a bandage on there.
So Tom Hanks gets a call because he's very busy. Again, whenever he's there, even if he's got a meeting with, you know, the heads of these supermarkets, he's got a meeting. The police are calling him and they're asking him if he knows this person. And he's like, I'll be right there. So he speeds over to the police department.
Well, I love John Candy's line there, too, because Tom Hanks is supposed to be like talking to them and showing them the operation. Instead, the phone rings and he runs away from them without saying a word and jumps in his little car and leaves his little gray BMW.
Yeah.
And John Candy goes, ever since the war, it's just whenever a phone rings,
he has to, he runs away.
runs away and gets in a car and drives off.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, they go I guess makes business. Sense. Yeah. Sounds good. Could be worse.
He feels bad for him because they were both at NOMS. Yeah. So he's like, tough.
You got to do
break.
What you got to do.
Yeah.
He goes to the police station and they're like, okay, that girl said that she called, that she knows you. And, he goes and picks her up and she's immediately making out with him.
Oh, just kisses him. I take it you know this young lady.
I take it you know her. And he says, yeah, who is she? I don't know. Of course. And then, of course, she's allowed to leave with him. That's fucking crazy. You could just... So what you're telling me is that I could just go and be like, oh, you called me about this? Yeah, I know that person.
Well, I think it was because they were like, they thought she was like from a foreign country. So they were like, we don't know who the fuck. She doesn't speak English. She's naked. Let's just find her. Because it's not like she killed somebody. Like, we're going to, you know, whatever. So they were like, let's just find. She seems to know because she was carrying his wallet.
Yeah,
so they
just like, this, all right, I know him. Yeah.
We'll find this fucking guy. So they somehow from his wallet tracked out. I guess he probably had a business card in there.
Yeah.
Tracked him down and he goes to pick her up. He's speeding like fucking going around ambulances and shit like a lunatic.
Yeah. Anyway, so okay. So this is so she can walk when she's on land, right? And so you're just kind of assuming that. You're like, okay, so she can become a mermaid whenever she goes in the water, I guess.
Yeah.
And then is it any water? But like these are the questions that you're asking at first.
Yeah. Why is she now? Yeah. Yeah. What's going to turn her back into a mermaid?
But the funny thing is
this permanent now that she's out of it?
Is that she can't speak English.
Nothing.
Can't, she seems to not be able to speak at all.
She just smiles.
She smiles
and makes
and
out
she
with
just
you.
Looks and she, well, if you're Tom Hanks, she kisses you.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to have much of a problem with this either. He's like, all right, beautiful blonde woman. She's
naked and tons of sex and
doesn't want to talk to me but wants to make to have sex with me.
That's
so
the thing is that they're like making right, sure. out. They have sex in the elevator,
yeah,
which I was
care.
Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But it's wild because I'm like, so you don't even want to know like who this person is. You're just like, I don't know, she's making out with me.
I know who she is. She's a beautiful blonde naked woman. That's who she is. That's what Tom Hanks's character
said. Hold her hostage
see?
In my apartment.
See who she is right here? She can live with me. Literally, he's like, I don't care. I don't know you, but move
how
in with me.
How much money does he make as a produce
he seems to do
man.
Okay. That apartment
well, yeah,
now would be $5 million, but in
much
the 80s.
Food did he make her on that tray? It was like a stack of like 100 pancakes.
Pancakes, omelets, fruity pebbles, and some other stuff.
I don't know what you like.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't even speak English. And then you're bringing me this large tray of food.
She's clearly eats a lot, obviously.
Yeah. What if she can't eat that?
I don't think she could. I don't think anyone could eat all that. That was a lot. He made her like four meals.
Yeah.
And put it on a tray.
Well, because here's the deal. Like when you bring people from other countries, like my mom had, they had a girl from Austria. Oh, is she from Austria?
Yes.
Come and visit. And the first thing that I asked her was, I was like, what do you think about the portions? Like,
it's food
the things
is
that we eat is like, it's so different. And she was like, why is the pretzels, like, why are they sweet?
Yeah, everything.
Like, I don't know.
Everybody says that about here. Why does everything have sugar? It feels like everything's sweet.
Yeah, everything has sugar, but like...
That's why sugar is addicting.
When you try to just like give her toast or something like kind of plain because you don't know if she's going to like pancakes.
I guess. I think he just gave her what he had.
And then how did he have time to make all of that?
My question is, what's his kitchen situation like
his
in the setup?
Be
because
wrecked.
To make omelets and pancakes
just to make
and
pancakes.
All this stuff, he had bacon on there, all this shit at the same time. We're talking, well, he's got at least three,
your
four frying pans out.
Full of smoke.
It would take him an hour.
You have pancake batter all over your counters because I don't know why every time you make pancakes you have to get pancake batter everywhere and then eat a cold sponge.
I don't even think she touched the food either.
She was like picking at it, but it was just weird because I'm like, how much
she didn't know
how
what it
long
was
have you been here? That would take you like 3 hours to make all like that whole that whole fucking pot.
You can't have a pancake in the ocean, so there's no way she knew what it was.
Wow, that was profound as shit. You can't have a pancake in the ocean.
Full of water would disintegrate. It would be gone.
Gross. All right, so anyway, she's in the apartment. She's like waving at his fish in the fish tank. He brought her that huge tray of food. She's all horned up because she just can't.
Him.
He's like, you're going to put me in the hospital.
Yeah.
They've had sex like four times now?
All over the place. Yeah. In the car, in the elevator.
Not concerned with the fact that she doesn't speak any like words.
No.
Not even like anything.
I don't think there's any condom use going on here whatsoever.
That's
this is
thing.
Raw dog.
Unless he's got
fish lady sex.
Okay, because I was just going to ask you, James, like, if I was in your apartment and I didn't speak, you wouldn't...
I found you naked by the Statue of Liberty, are we talking here?
Well, no, maybe you picked me up from the police department, but, like, you wouldn't be... You'd be like, whoa. Like,
I wouldn't raw dog, I'd be like, look, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you got.
But
like,
you'd make out with me, though, right?
I think I would. Yeah. You're pretty cute.
Cool.
So I think I'd make out with you.
That's
but I'd
cool.
be like,
I'd
hey,
be
we got to like
mermaid.
At least put like we got to use a condom here or something because I don't know what kind of stuff you have.
This is nuts.
Have you ever had fish? Have you ever had fish? Have you ever seen ick?
Know
it's
that
disgusting.
She's a fish.
There's blobs of
at
stuff on.
At this time, he doesn't know that she's a fish.
Well, you never know who you're having sex with. They could be a fish. That's my point. That's why you use a condom.
If I was, oh my God.
That's why you use a condom.
Thanks, Grandpa.
It might be a fish.
Okay.
everybody out there.
Okay.
Safe sex, everybody.
I feel like you're not understanding what I'm asking you.
Oh, clearly not.
I would want to like hear that you can speak and that you fucking are like.
That would matter less to a man.
That's weird.
Yeah, we don't care. If you can't speak, we can work with that. That's fine.
I guess that's preferable.
No, it's not preferable. But if she comes out and she's a mute to begin with and like, you know, she's not speaking, she's just totally mute about everything. And then, yeah, I think he's fine with that. Especially the low point he's at. You have to think of, too, his girlfriend just left him and moved out. So he's like, hey, this broad wants to bang me over here. You know what I'm talking about? So he does it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know him. That's what he's asking. Do you know what he's talking about?
But he seems like...
I'm in character with him.
Okay. I just don't understand.
What? What? Why guys would do that?
Not once. You're like, hey, how's it going?
No, I totally get that.
Whoa. Like, back up.
He's a single guy.
I don't know who you are and why you found me and why you made out with me on the beach. Are you okay? Like,
okay. Attractive woman. Coming on to him.
Okay.
Not wearing a lot of clothes.
Okay.
That's it. There's no fourth. There's only three things.
I'll never understand. Okay.
He's a single guy. Who cares?
She is at the house and she's watching TV and she's snacking on some of the platter. I don't know what type of appetite he thought that she would have.
Like, he said, I don't know what you like, so I made you some everything. I don't know. So he kind of said...
But that would that like nourish her for the rest of the day? Because that's a lot of food.
Well, he said he was going... Isn't this when he said he was just going to work for the end of the day and then was going to come home and go out to dinner with her?
Yeah, because he said nothing goes out. Nothing happens until like 4.
4, yeah.
And then, so then he's leaving...
Because this is still the same day.
Yeah.
Because he picked her up when he was at work. And that's the thing. When he's making all that breakfast, I assume it's morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but then it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah,
it's not.
So what time did he get there? What time did he just like have to go pick her up?
I feel like that was mid-morning. And then they banged for a while.
Nine, yeah.
Took him a couple hours to make food. And then it's 3 o'clock.
But she's watching TV and she puts one of Tom Hanks's suits on and she with a tie. I don't know why.
She sees a Bloomingdale's commercial.
And she's going to go to Bloomingdale's because she wants to buy the pretty clothes that she saw on the
Klein collection. She looks at her own clothes. It's so messed up.
She's wearing a t-shirt and a robe.
She's from the sea. Yet immediately upon seeing the first commercial, she looked at her own clothes and didn't feel adequate. One commercial, and it kind of put the whole process of consumerism into her head in one commercial.
She's like, my duds suck.
I suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
no.
Not cool.
Yeah. She puts her suit on.
So she puts Tom Hanks' suit on with a tie. I didn't understand why she put the tie on because.
Yeah. I don't either. I guess because she saw him.
She had to look at a map. So if she she didn't see a tie. She wasn't like trying to on the commercial. She was like, I got to figure out.
No. Him. I think he was wearing it. So maybe she was like.
Oh, maybe she. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
way,
so she's wearing a tie. And the cab driver drops her off at Bloomingdale's.
That's her first word.
Yeah. She says Bloomingdale's. A very polite cab driver. Because she hands him the wallet and he only takes out like what's owed to him and then...
Yeah, he reaches in and gives it back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought she was like mute.
I think so.
Deaf.
I think so. But look, she was still like, you know, she's like
so
tall and blonde and going to Bloomingdale's. So she was like, she's probably from here.
So she's shopping at Bloomingdale's. She buys a whole wardrobe. I was like, wow, this is like...
I love the sales lady, by the way.
The sales lady was so funny.
Sweetheart, sweetheart, sweetheart.
This look is so old.
You must have watched Annie Hall 30 times. What are you doing? That look is over. Come on. You want to try this on? Let's go. What are you doing over here?
And then she says about some outfit, some like, you know, romper type situation.
I don't know what that
she
was.
She said, this woman is very tiny, by the way. She was small.
She was older, short.
And she was very, very svelte.
Yeah.
She was slim. And she's like, I can't even get one leg in there. My daughter's lucky. She's anorexic.
My
and
daughter's
like,
lucky. She's anorexic.
Oh, my God.
Takes her over here and
So then there's another commercial when she's paying for everything, she sees another commercial for Crazy Eddie's.
Yes.
Which I've never heard of Crazy Eddie's.
Fuck.
So James was very excited about Crazy Eddie's.
If you're from New York and grew up in the 80s, 90s, and I assume before that 70s and whatever, there was this store called Crazy Eddie's and it was an electronics store, and the guy who owned it would do these commercials where he would just scream and yell into the fucking camera for the 30-second allotment he had, and he'd go, we got this and we got that, it's crazy Eddie's and blah blah blah, where the prices are so low they're insane, and that was the commercial.
And
that's the echo of my whole childhood. And then I saw it, I was like, holy shit, I forgot about him.
Also at Crazy Eddie's, time is wild there. Okay. Daryl Hannah apparently has, she's doing
aerobics.
She's Richard Simmons. She's doing jazzercise, aerobicsize. Richard Simmons.
So,
you know, she's
so
doing
young
the whole thing.
Too.
The employees at Crazy Eddie's say that she's been there for 6 hours.
She's at Bloomingdale's. The commercial was for Crazy Eddie's on the TV, but she's still at Bloomingdale's.
No, I know, but she had a commercial, but then she's at.
She's not a Crazy Eddie. She's always at Bloomingdale's, because when Tom Hanks goes to pick her up, he picks her up at Bloomingdale's. The TV, it's just the electronic section of Bloomingdale's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's a full department store.
Wait, what's happening? Okay. Yeah, yeah. So she's been there for apparently 6 hours.
Doing aerobics.
And it's like 8 o'clock when the mall is closing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tom Hanks said everything goes off at four, you know, whatever. So she's probably only been there for like 4 hours.
Probably. Yeah, she hasn't been there for 6 hours.
Maybe three.
The math is wrong on these guys. I think they're just exaggerating, too, because they're being pussies, I think, honestly.
So Tom Hanks comes bounding in, and they're like, do you, because he's like, oh, my God, I know you. Like, you know, but they're like, do you know her? And he's like, oh, yeah, she doesn't speak English. And then here comes Daryl Hannah, and she speaks perfect English.
She's like, Hi, Alan.
How was your day today?
Yeah.
And she's able to fully form sentences and all that stuff. No struggling.
Thank you for letting me watch your televisions. It was very educational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he asks, Tom Hanks asks Daryl Hannah for her name. And he says, you know, just say, she's, I don't know how to say it in English.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool, just say it in your language. So she speaks dolphin.
Yeah. She says, she does like weird dolphin squeak.
It sounds like a dolphin squeak. And then it breaks a bunch of TVs.
Yeah. Because it's not a.
But the nice thing is I don't think that they charged Tom Hanks for the TVs.
No, I think it was one of those like, whoa, what the fuck just happened type of thing. And they just left.
So they left and they're walking around. She's got, he never once asks like, holy shit, how did you buy all of this stuff?
Yeah, she has his wallet, I think.
But she was nude. So how did you buy all of this?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. It's
with
not
his
even
credit
like,
card.
You could suspend disbelief and be like, all right, cool. Like he's probably thinking that's her money, but she was naked and was wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to know that.
Buy all this?
He's got to know she used his credit card, but it doesn't seem to bother him at all. He's way more curious about.
She bought so much clothes.
But
so
she did
clothes,
bang him like
so
four times in the first day she met him. So,
wow. I mean, just neighborly.
You know what I'm saying? She has no clothes. I think she should get her some clothes. I mean, he's honestly,
well, he did say that we'll take you shopping for some clothes.
Yeah, we
got
to get you
whatever,
some clothes so we can go out to dinner.
Yeah. So he asks her, who are you? Where were you born? Start at the beginning and go right to where you blew up the TVs, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, this is finally like a question that you should have been starting to ask her like before you went to work. But
this is logical.
Fine.
Okay.
She jumps up on the walk sign and she says that she likes the walk sign.
Pretty.
It's very pretty. And Tom Hanks is like, yeah, I guess. Like, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But it's so weird because he's never once wondering like, okay, why can you all of a sudden speak perfect English a couple hours ago? Like, he has no questions.
The next day, he talks to John Candy about it.
Yeah.
And says, there's something off here. She learned to speak English in a day. This is, what the fuck, dude?
I thought this was a couple days later. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So she almost runs into a car. She's like, oh, look over here, look over here. Another classic New Yorker thing. The guy gets out of the car. And he's like, why don't you keep her on a leash, huh?
I keep her on a leash. Because he had to swerve. And
because that's a very
a
typical
accident.
New York thing.
Yeah.
Evil Dead is playing.
Yeah, across from where they're tossing pizzas. We got an Evil Dead.
And then there's like a porno theater next to Evil Dead playing.
Yeah, the original
but
Evil Dead was playing
James,
there.
James thought that the pizza was more pornographic. He was like, oh, look at that.
Look at him. Look at him. Look at him toss it.
Oh, look at that cheese. Look at the crust.
Look at his fists go into the dough. Mm. Yeah, I don't want that fucking pizza.
I had to leave them alone.
So bad.
And he's like, Okay, so she wants to be called Madison because she wants to pick a different name.
Yeah, he says, what's your name? We got to give you a name can understand.
You
want to
be Lisa, you want to be this, and blah, blah, blah. And then he says,
where are we right now? And looks up at the street, and he goes, where are we now, Madison? And then he starts going on names, and she says, Madison, I like that one. And
yeah.
He goes, well, that's not really a name, though.
It is a name.
And she's like, well, I like it. And he goes, well, I guess, yeah, what the hell, then? You could be Madison. And what's my daughter's name?
Madison.
That's right, which is fucking hilarious.
This movie is very near and dear.
Yeah,
James.
I think it's just bored into my brain, and that's what ended up coming out.
And then he, so she says, are we going to go back to the place where you live? And he says, well, I was going to get you a hotel, but
yeah, I mean,
given the fact that we've been having sex with each other all day,
I mean, constantly,
maybe you just want to stay with me.
Being the fact that the first two layers of skin is rubbed off of my penis, I think maybe
it
you can come into my house.
Because I'm like, why didn't you offer her the hotel like first?
Because she was too busy humping him. If someone's dry humping you, you go to a place to work that out, but then you figure it out. But you don't go, hey, where are we going? Isn't
why
that?
Didn't
I got
you
a
work
house.
Out the...
I don't know. I think she
work
clearly
out
she wanted to go.
Who this strange person is?
You got to get the raw dogging out of the way
no,
first.
No, you don't.
First.
No.
There's a list of things, okay? It's a triage at
no.
this point.
Okay.
You want to know, there's certain things you want. You want to know who she is. You want to know where she's from. You want a raw dogger. So you have to figure out what the most important thing is there. Who's the person with the gaping gunshot wound? If someone's just got a little bit of a chest pain, we'll take care of the gunshot
what if
wound
she
first.
She's from a rival produce company and she's here to
that's
take him away.
You don't know?
We don't know where this movie's
no,
going.
That's how easy it is to men. All you have to do
wow.
is be, you know, semi-attractive and nude and raw dog them.
You guys get to be in charge of everything.
It's insane. That's what
wow.
I mean. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy that
yikes.
That's what we're, yeah, it's
yeah.
crazy, right?
So anyway, Daryl Hannah, I have noticed, is adjusting very well to the human world. A lot better than most people adjust to the human world, but just like in a different country.
She's doing
like
great.
On 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, this is the ultimate K-1 visa process
yeah.
right here. This is it right here. This is K-1 fish
this
style
one is
here.
A combination of Little Mermaid and 90 Day Fiancé.
And E.T. Mix them all
and
together
E.T.
and you get this. Yeah, that's fucking... This
little,
week on 90 Day Fiancé.
Little E.T. Fiancé.
Yeah. It's
okay.
People like family. I think you should send her back to the ocean. She's only here to get legs. Do you understand that? She's using you for legs, and you know it. You know she's using you for legs. That's all she wants. She just doesn't want no fin popping up again. She's using you for legs.
This is such a good Deb impression.
That's what she'd be saying. She's using you for legs, Colt. You know it. You know she's using you for legs.
Nah. She's nothing but a mermaid. Okay. So she's sleeping. She wakes up in the middle of the night and she draws herself a bath. Okay. So
expertly.
She starts the bath and she also grabs the thing of Morton's salt.
Yeah.
And she puts some salt in the water and then she just gets her fins on. And I can't tell you how relaxing
you have
this
to. Looked. Yeah. She didn't get her fins on. Like she didn't put
on. No, no.
She slid into the water.
She slid into the water. Like she's getting her gersh on. She's
yeah.
Getting
okay.
Her fins
yeah.
On.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, I'm relaxing. This looked about as relaxing as it feels to take your bra off at the end of the day, where you're like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, she
it
was
just
like,
looks so like,
whew. Unfurled her
yeah.
fin tail
it
there.
It looked magnificent.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to be a mermaid bad. I want to sit in my tub and I want to be a mermaid. That looks beautiful.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Okay. So Tom Hanks wakes up and he, because I think he just hears her in the tub, I
yeah,
guess.
The water's running. And
yeah, like why you wouldn't be worried about her in the tub? Like, what are you doing? Like,
she knows nothing, so maybe
yeah.
she's drowning herself. We have no idea.
We have
in
no
there.
Idea. We have no idea. But anyway, so he knocks on the door and he's like, hey, are you okay? And she's like, oh, just a second.
She's like, I'm in the tub. He's like, ooh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, can I come in? No, because she's, you know, whatever, got her fins.
Yeah.
And she jumps out and she's trying to dry herself off. And then this is another thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to know how long, because she doesn't ever go back in the tub.
No.
As long as we see her.
Yeah. No, 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 she doesn't.
We but never
she,
see her
we
in
just
the
assume
tub.
That's what she does at night, I feel like. That's what I just
yeah,
assumed she
but
does
like,
that.
So is it like, does she need to go in the water every once in a while just to kind of like remind her body that she's...
I think it's just comfortable. I think it's just comfortable. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if it was like
it's a
health,
natural state.
I didn't know if it was like a mermaid like health thing where it's like, you know, I need to make sure
yeah.
that I go in the water for like 6 hours a day or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like you like, need to have somebody flush your toilet every few days if you go out of town or something. To,
yeah.
So it doesn't
like
dry out. Yeah. One of those
well,
deals.
I don't know if I would equate a mermaid to a toilet plumbing
well, it's the
system,
same thing.
But...
I just think that's what you mean. It's like, otherwise, if you go too long, the tail doesn't work right. I don't know how it works there. That's what I'm figuring. So, yeah.
The fact that you compared it to a toilet.
I don't fucking know what else you
got. I need to go home now.
But, we are home. We haven't gone anywhere in 6 fucking months.
It's fine. We're doing great. We're doing great.
Yeah, everything's wonderful.
We're going to have a charcuterie board and hang out with our friends.
Yeah.
On 90 days.
Exactly. That's the problem right there.
Okay. It's fine. So she hurries up. She dries her fin off and he like makes his way into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he's like a little suspicious about it. But like, my question is, why didn't he? He's just looking. He's like, oh, okay. Like the tub. You don't see the canister of salt?
No, because the way it was, I told you, you asked at the time, and the way it was positioned, there's no way he was seeing
it. I'm going to have to go back and look at it, because I'm pretty sure that
the tub is up like 3 steps and to the left. So
if mom is up like 3 steps.
He would have to be up 3 steps and to see it. There's no way he could see it from where he was.
I'll take it for whatever you're saying here. We go back to Cape Cod with Eugene Levy. He's underwater again. One of the moron twins is reading something called The Star Confidential. And this is actually one of my favorite lines in this movie, I think. Eugene Levy says to him...
It's The Inquirer is what it is.
Yeah, it's basically they're trying to be like The Inquirer. It's just like some crap, like, you know, newspaper.
You know, boy born with bear head, things like that.
Yeah, and Eugene Levy says, what possesses the uneducated to purchase these things?
This is not news. I was like, yes! Preach it, Eugene Levy!
I just love the line, what possesses the uneducated to... blah, whatever. I am
gonna go on every like conspiracy theory message board and all these nuts and everybody, all the subreddits and all this shit and all the crazy little fucking weird things, and I am gonna post that right there, that exact statement. What possesses, and I have no education, so I'm looking down at anybody, but what possesses the uneducated to, this is not news, the whole thing. I'm gonna post it everywhere.
And then he says, you have sex, you have perversion, it's all fabricated.
Yeah,
and I just loved that whole, like, I was like,
that's it.
Teach it like you preach it. We're back to New York with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah. She's crying watching TV, and she's crying about the show Bonanza.
Really, like,
and she's like, she's sobbing, and she goes, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and shot that man and he just died in the street.
Yeah, but okay, so she can learn English, that's fine.
Yeah,
but then she understands violence. I'm like, she's a mermaid. Has she ever seen anything? A gun? Has she seen a gun?
Don't know her experience. She knows death, I guess.
I know she's got maps.
She clearly knows death. You know what I mean? Like,
well, she understood. Yeah,
she understood that guy died. So whether it's shooting or not, he's dead. Well, Tom Hanks has to explain. Like theater to her, basically.
I remember when my niece was. I don't remember even how old she was, but I remember I was staying with them in San Diego and we were watching Bambi. And when the guy shot Bambi's mom, my niece goes, no, ow, bad. I was like, okay. So I'm like, she's a little baby and she understands no, ow, bad. Okay.
This though, he's explaining to her Bonanza and this, and he's like, no, this is make-believe.
He's an actor.
He's an actor. This guy is going to get shot in another show next week. And, you know, it's kind of funny if you think about it. And she goes, so I'm supposed to laugh?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And so she's pointing at this dead body on the screen. She goes, and I'm like, now you get it, Daryl Hannah. That's my living. Now you understand. You have to find the right way to look at it.
Yeah.
That's true crime. Enjoy.
There you go.
She would definitely be a listener, I think.
She would.
Small Town Murder,
probably. Especially if she knew that you named your daughter after her.
Yeah, you know, so not specifically, but it helped.
Tom Hanks got Daryl Hannah a gift, and she's quite thrilled with just the box.
Yeah, it's
which
a
I
Tiffany's
thought was
box.
Great. She's like crying at that, and it's got her like a little musical box thing, like the like little snow globe thing. And I just remember, I'm not remembering what it's called right now, but I have a bunch of those. I have like a bunch of horses, and like
plays like
the
people dancing in it. Yeah. It's, you know, almost like one of those ballerina things. What the hell are those things called?
I love those things when I was a kid.
I don't know what the fuck.
I don't remember what they're called. It's like a musical something, and I'm sure somebody's going to tweet it at
us. Don't tweet it. We'll figure it out.
No, but I want one person to tell me.
We can just look it up.
No.
Someone will tweet it. Who cares?
I want one person to tell me. Okay, so she's very thrilled with the box, but it's a beautiful little musical thing. This is where I start to question heavily her schedule.
He says it's not the box. I open the box. She says, there's more? She's like, oh my God.
She's so cute. Yeah. But So this is where I want to know her schedule. What's the clock on how long can she have her legs and how long can she have the fins? How long can she have her legs? Because she keeps bringing up like, okay, I've got 5 days left. So I'm like, okay, so there's a window on the legs, but like, how many days is it? So is it seven? How long has she been here? Because it feels like this is a really fucking like action packed like 24 hours essentially.
The first day is a lot. There's a lot going on that first day.
A lot
day.
Of banging. There's a lot of shopping. There's
shopping,
Richard Simmons.
Banging,
we're
dancing.
We're eating. Whatever. So they're walking around. I don't remember what park this was at night, and they see a fountain with a mermaid. And she's like, hey, you like that?
Yeah.
What do you think about mermaids?
Yeah.
So now...
He loves it.
Now that I'm looking at this, hindsight is always 20/20. She's always been trying to convert him to mermaidism.
She's trying to see when she could tell him about this. Because at some point in here it comes out that I have a secret I need to tell you. And he's like, well, obviously, you haven't told me everything. And so that's kind of the point. So she's trying to be like, hey, what do you think of that? Like, and see if he's like, oh, I hate mermaids. They're gross. And then she would have been like, ooh.
Okay, but who says that, number one?
That's what I mean.
Number two,
she doesn't know.
When she was a child mermaid and he was a child boy, she was trying to make him be a fish and her friend.
Yeah,
then.
I think so too. Yeah.
So maybe she's trying to make him a mermaid.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
She can never be a human like forever.
I don't think so.
There's no Triton to make her a human forever.
No, well, I think the point is she said she can't go back if she stays longer. So I think she can stay. On land, but then she can never be a mermaid again if she stays longer than a week. That's the point.
Oh.
So she could never be a mermaid again. So she could stay here and never go back to her place, or he could go with her and never go back to his place. That's the thing. Whoever chooses, whatever, but she can't stay here because the fucking army's after her, obviously. So the only place that it's like Angela and Michael on 90 Day Fiancé. Her visa got rejected. So she can either go marry him in Nigeria or he can't come here because the government won't allow it.
I missed the part why she explained why she couldn't.
She didn't explain why. She just said, she said, if I stay longer than that, I can't go back. That's what it was. And he was like, well, good. Maybe you don't have to go back. Great.
So now we're at the part where they're at the gym. And Tom Hanks is talking to John Candy, and John Candy's like, listen, you're totally in love with this chick. You haven't been to work in the past 2 days.
Yeah. He's playing racquetball and smoking at the same time.
He's smoking a cigarette, and he's playing racquetball, drinking a beer out of the cooler.
This is
like,
great,
we're
John
just
Candy.
Talking about. And then also, like, so he starts to question it 48 hours after, or, you know, 72 hours, I don't know, because you haven't showed up to work for the past 2 days. I'm like, okay, but. I guess. So now we're hypothesizing how she could have showed up naked at the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
So Tom Hanks is asking the right questions, but like 48 hours later.
Yeah, like she
learned
English in a day.
How did she learn English by watching TV for 6 hours? How do you explain her screaming and breaking TVs? How do you explain the bathtub situation? Yeah. Like, how do you explain all of this stuff?
There's a lot of weird shit going on.
There's a lot of weird shit going on that you should have been asking 2 days ago.
Well, too much raw dogging. It clouds the brain. That's the problem.
So I love that John Candy is like, well, okay, so she probably just like was hating her country. She was on this boat that was sailing international waters, and she sees America, and she's like, wow, that looks pretty good.
That looks pretty good. She sees America, she goes, looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good over there.
It's hilarious.
And then she does that, and she greases herself up, and she swims.
Like a channel swimmer.
Yeah, and then she swims the whole way.
And he describes, you know, she goes through, she has some sharks she's got to get through, she has some problems there, but she gets through it, you know, then she's got through the minefield, the Coast Guard, and then you know, she goes, she pops up on the shore, and there she is.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's fine. That's what we did. And like,
easily
okay.
explained. Who cares? You're happy was his point.
Yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
fucking matter where she's from.
Eugene Levy holds a meeting with other scientists. They're upset because they're like, so you called us about a mermaid? And Eugene Levy's like, yeah, obviously I called you about a mermaid. And everybody
Clearly.
Thinks that he's crazy, which of course now he sounds like the National Enquirer. Like he's on the Star Confidential because he's like, mermaid is real.
Yeah,
like,
if I found a mermaid, and they're like, get the fuck out of here.
What's on the cover of the thing that the Moron twins were reading was about the mermaid.
It was
like
about,
she's a nude girl. Like,
it wasn't about her being a mermaid.
He saw her as a mermaid.
Yeah, so
like,
he was like
the mermaid
that's the
that
same
he
one.
Saw, and he's like, holy shit, that naked lady is the mermaid that I saw.
Yep, she popped out naked. Why? Because she's a mermaid.
Of course. Yeah. So one of Eugene Levy's peers is very disappointed, and I love this line here that Eugene Levy says, where he says, "There's a mermaid in New York City." Like, damn it.
Yeah. I like the old guy who goes, "You were so promising. You were my best student, and now you're a schmuck."
Yeah.
Tells him. I'm like,
so they start to explain some of the science, and I think that Eugene Levy learned about mermaids from this
heavy
guy.
Air quotes on the science there, by the way.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, the science in this movie. Because remember, James, we are always passengers, so whatever is going on in this movie, we believe it.
Yeah, this is the guy's, Eugene Levy's mentor, obviously.
So this guy says, like, you know, because he's like, "You even told me this. They have fins in the water and they have legs on land." It's kind of like vampire lore.
Exactly.
Everybody has a different variation of what a vampire does. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they're always hot and brooding.
Yeah.
In Twilight, they sparkle. You know, these ones you can't have garlic.
Your own rules.
There's always their own, you know.
Absolutely.
Whatever. I loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
When I was a child.
Oh, well, that's good.
Anyway, so the doctor says, his mentor says to him, he's like, "What are you going to do, get her wet?" And Eugene Levy smiles like he's never thought of this before.
Like, he goes, "What are you going to do, throw water on her and prove she's a mermaid?" And he was like, "That's what I'm going to do.
That's it.
Light bulb." Yeah. light bulb is here.
Well, the funny thing is that now, after he's given this idea, he knows exactly where she is. He knows exactly where Tom Hanks is. He knows their schedule.
Fuck science. He should be a private investigator.
Yeah,
because this guy
good at the science
will
part.
Find anybody, anytime, know exactly where they are. He dresses up in fucking costumes and gets in places. It's crazy.
It didn't even say that this girl is in New York City and then hooks up with Tom Hanks.
With Alan Bauer, and the guy's currently at his apartment. Here's the address.
There's this naked lady here. Holy shit. And he's like, "She's with Tom Hanks, obviously."
Clearly.
Like, no, what are you talking about?
He pulled up and there they are walking down the street.
Yeah.
Which, this happened a few movies ago. Somebody just pulled up and then somebody was just walking down the street in New York City.
Fran Drescher.
Yeah, it's just like, "Oh, there they are.
Beautician,
yeah, no problem."
Beast.
Apparently, New York is it's a small island, but there's 8 fucking million people. You're not
gonna
find
people.
Once you
hear that someone's in New York City, I think that their exact location just gets like pinged.
I guess. Apparently so. You just stand on the corner and you go, "Well, it's a small island. Eventually, they'll pass by here." That's what you do. You just sit here and you go, "Well, eventually they got to pass by. There's a good pizza place down the block. I mean, some they got to come, right?"
We should never go to New York City because then someone will know immediately when our location syncs up with
them.
We'll
be found by Gene Levy.
So then they do this misdirect comedy thing where, you know, he finds them. He's like running down New York City, like on like a sidewalk, and he's got like 2 buckets of water and he's not spilling all the water everywhere.
Yeah,
and he's able to like throw water on this lady, and it's not Daryl Hannah.
No,
and it's not Tom Hanks.
It's a very angry man.
And he's so funny because it's through, because he's, so what he does is every time he does, and he never like puts any thought into it. Yeah. He just dumps the water and then he pulls the camera up. And then by the time he's got the camera up, he sees like that he's fucked up.
Yeah.
And so he's got the camera, and then you see it through the camera lens, like this guy giving him this nasty look and slowly approaching him and like beating the shit out of him. It's so funny.
Yeah, this is one of Eugene Levy's many beatings later on. And he gets another beating from the same guy.
We're out to dinner with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah now. And so Tom Hanks is saying, like, "Hey, listen, you don't have to leave the country. I could give you a job at my produce business. Or, like, you know, you could probably marry an American."
Yeah, he could be. Yeah. He's thinking in terms of she's like Dutch or something. Like, that's the way he's looking at it. Not like she's.
They got lobster and she's eating it like a crazy person. She just bites the tail
and the shell, and she's ripping the legs off, which I said this on social media, but when I first, the first time I ever had a lobster, like a piece of one when I was a kid, it was at this buffet thing.
Oh, no.
I bit the legs off like that and started eating. I'm like, these shells, what the fuck? I didn't know, because I was like, that seems to be how you eat lobster.
Aww.
Is you eat them like Daryl Hannah in Splash.
You're the cutest.
I'm not the cutest. So,
you are.
Yeah.
So she's going in on this lobster, and you know, they don't really talk about that
much.
The
music stops in the room because everyone's just like, whoa.
Well, yeah, because she's biting into the shell. And
he says, she's really hungry, to everybody, which is my favorite. Which I say all the time, and Sarah never knows what the fuck I'm talking
about.
Okay,
how can I know? First of all, I haven't seen this movie since I was a kid.
I know, and I never tell you what it's from.
How would I know you're referencing Splash?
You wouldn't, that's the thing. And so that's what's funny, is I say it, and I'm like, she never gets this reference. It's funny.
So now they're going ice skating, and Okay. Yeah. So then this is another part where there's obviously ice is frozen water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She asks about it.
But she asks about it because the water doesn't get cold or anything like that. But she's first of all, she's really great at ice skating. So she's really great at walking and she's really great at ice skating.
Yeah, she pulls that off.
She's
right
a mermaid, but she's like, ice skating is difficult for people who are pretty good at walking.
Yeah.
Like I've got a low center of gravity, so I'm okay at ice skating. Like she's able to like spin around and skate backwards.
She's doing great. She's graceful.
She's like a fucking she's amazing at
she's
this.
Got
and
grace.
I'm like, listen, I trip on the sidewalk and I'm like, how is this happening
right
now?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fine. So I just had a lot of questions about the, you know, because she's never like, oh God, I hope that I'm not like assaulted with water.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's
never
not concerned.
Once is like, I hope it doesn't rain. She knows about like what gun violence is and all that stuff, but she's never like, okay, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I'm never near a puddle. Oh my God, is this frozen
water? After
this,
though, when it rains, you can tell she's hiding from it.
Yeah, because she's hiding from it, but like, we never see any panic when she goes out.
No. Yeah, she seems to be happy-go-lucky.
She's just fine.
But
it was just weird to me that she wasn't like, oh, this is frozen water. Like, does it melt? Like, she wasn't like freaking out about that. She's
no.
just like, oh, okay. So Tom Hanks is like, I'd like to talk to you about you know, what happened at the restaurant. You know, I wanted to know if you'd marry me. And she says no. And she can't tell him why. She only has 3 days left with him. So that's, please make them wonderful.
Yeah, that's all she says.
Tom Hanks is very bitter about this exchange. And he's also very bitter because he sees this old couple that's been coming there for the last 40 years. And she's trying to be like, oh, so does the water get cold here? Like, you know, and it freezes. Okay, because it doesn't get cold where I'm from. So he's very mad. And
well, she always says where I'm from, but then they won't say where that is.
Yeah.
So that would be irritating.
That's what I mean.
After a few days.
He's now very frustrated because she keeps talking about this secret that she can't tell him. And then I can understand the frustration. It's like, okay, well then tell me already.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on. Where are you from? What's your fucking secret? How come the water doesn't get cold there?
And
like I would have lost my
mind. He said, will you marry me? And she just went, no.
Yeah.
There was no you don't want to think about it. She's like, No. Okay.
He's being sarcastic and kind of rude, but I can understand where he's coming from. He's frustrated. Like, he's not calling her names or anything like
that.
He's
being human.
He's just reacting kind of human, and that's fine. She takes her skates off and runs off. The guy who works there is chasing Tom Hanks down because he's running off with his skates, but, you know, those are rented, so you kind of make sure.
The guy tackles him by the leg, and he's fucking physically trying to remove the skate from Tom Hanks while Tom Hanks is yelling.
Madison! And then I love this line, so New York. He goes, let her go. Show some dignity.
She goes, let her go. Show some dignity, for Christ's sake. And as he's doing it, this man is on the ground trying to wrestle a fucking ice skate off of him. So it's like, this guy's telling you to have dignity. It's great.
A lot of life lessons in this movie. It's raining. It's pouring rain. She's hiding from the rain. I hope she also got a tetanus shot before all of this barefoot running through New York.
Through early 80s New York.
She sees the harbor I think it was the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees that the water is calling her. She's like, I'm just gonna fuck it. Like, I'm just gonna jump now.
Yeah.
She finds Tom Hanks sitting on the ground and she just says yes. Like, so obviously we get it. They're getting married. And I also love that Tom Hanks said this. He goes, we'll go get our blood tested today and then we can go get married tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nobody gets do people still get their blood tested before they get married?
There was, I remember this from when I was a little kid, all the movies would have this. Whenever somebody wanted to get married and they were in New York, they always had to get a blood test. That was the law. So they would say that they can drive, let's just go to Maryland. There's no blood test down there. So I don't know what it was in the 70s and 80s that you needed a blood test in every state in the Northeast and like Maryland was the closest place you could get married without a blood. I don't know what they were testing you for.
Well, maybe I was thinking because I seem to remember my mom. I think my mom said that they had to get their blood tested
back then. Yeah, in the '80s, I think so.
Yeah, because they got married in 1985.
Yeah,
but I think it was. I think my mom said to make sure that you're not related.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I guess.
Don't quote me on that.
Who the fuck knows? I mean,
and don't quote my mother on that either.
Seems like a lot of medical procedure to get my
own
cares.
Sorry, Mom. I'm going to have to double check that you said that to me before.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said it out loud. Okay, so Eugene Levy is in Tom Hanks's building, and he's got his big cast on, which is, you see the big cast and it's propped up and you're only knowing that this is going to be funny.
It's Eugene Levy all injured.
He gets the
neck
hose.
Neck brace, huge cast.
He gets the hose for the, what's it called?
He's got like a
the fire hose.
Yeah.
Because he grabs, he breaks it open with his casted arm.
Oh, in the building, yeah.
And he grabs the fire hose and he hoses down the same couple in the elevator. And the guy just, I mean, throws him down the stairs with the hose. Poor Eugene Levy.
Yeah, he's having a bad week, as he says.
What a week I've had.
What a week I've had, as he's injured and brutalized.
So they're just going to go to Maryland after they have dinner with the President of the United States. I'm not sure why.
The President is making some speech. And
John Candy got tickets there or something, or they got invited.
Yeah, Tom Hanks got invited. And he was originally going to go with John Candy to schmooze for business stuff. And then he says, I'm going to take, Daryl Hannah instead.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. But I don't know why he's there or what kind of event this is. It doesn't really matter.
Well, we don't know the importance of his attendance. The president's never, because they left early anyway.
Yeah.
The president's never really, looking for him. I can't wait to talk to Bauer Produce.
No, I assume it's because they own a big produce thing.
Yeah,
it's probably an industry thing or a union thing, possibly, or something like that. Yeah, so.
But at the dinner table, Tom, you need to calm down a little bit. He's saying to Daryl Hannah, I hope we have a girl and a boy.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're getting married tonight, folks. And it's like, take it easy.
Yeah, they're all, she's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But
did she buy him the fountain yet?
Yes.
I think she already bought him the fountain.
Yeah, definitely.
So I forgot to talk about this. Somehow she bought the fountain.
From the park.
From the park that's being torn down for condos and high rises or whatever.
Yeah.
And she got the fountain put into his apartment in the bedroom. And there's no fucking way that got in his bedroom.
Especially not the way they had. Because when he came in the door, there was two dudes, two movers coming out. Those two people just brought me. Yeah. This thing is so large, it wouldn't have fit through the door on its side. It would have been too tall.
Yeah.
There's no way.
It's just next to his bed.
It's in the living room. Isn't it?
No,
it's in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, it's in it's like half his bedroom. Sorry, his whole bedroom is this giant it's huge.
Yeah.
And he says it's
obviously
big.
They just left, but the lights are all working and their water's working fine. Everything's
they
all filled
set up
and
first. They're professionals.
Yeah, but the whole bottom pond is full.
Oh, it's going great. And he's just like, it's so big.
It's so big.
It's just
so big.
And it's here. It's big.
But him saying, I hope we have a girl and a boy. It's like, okay, so you just went from 72 hours ago, you broke up with your girlfriend broke up with you because you had no ability to love. And now all of a sudden, you're having problems admitting that you love this girl. And then you're getting married to this person that you don't know. And then you're like, let's have a girl and a boy.
It's the power of raw dogging, baby.
Let's
that's
go get
what
our
happens.
Blood tested.
That's what happens when people, when strangers meet in raw dog, things go fast.
Eugene Levy knows Tom Hanks' and Daryl Hannah's whole itinerary for their, life
everywhere they go,
because he is he's a waiter at this presidential dinner.
Yeah,
he's a waiter there, and he's got a big cast, and the guy who works there is like, what are you doing? Do you have a
why
broken
are you
arm
here?
Yeah,
and he says the union sent me, and the guy's like, all right,
yeah, whatever,
what are we gonna do then?
So he's got this thing canister that has water that can spray out of it under his jacket, and it's like, dude, you couldn't have been more conspicuous.
Yeah. He could have just brought a water. Well, I guess a water gun wouldn't be enough water.
Bring up a pitcher of water.
He's a waiter. Just a pitcher would have been
fine. Pitcher of water, but instead he's got
the hose gives you greater accuracy.
Well, I'm sure, and it's got more water in it. But just have a couple of glasses of water and a fucking pitcher of water or something, and fucking instead he's got this weird Quasimodo type.
Big hump
on his back, and he's got this hose, and all the security people are
Secret Service.
Yeah, Secret
they go
Service
take him down and drag him outside.
Take him down because he looks suspicious.
He's reaching because he's getting a hose nozzle out of his fucking jacket.
I was like, okay, Eugene Levy, not very bright.
No.
But you
no,
can find no. Tom Hanks and whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, this weird thing and won't be noticeable.
As they're dragging him out, he's yelling, I want to speak to the president. I want to speak to the president. And you're crazy. Yeah.
So Tom Hanks, Daryl Hannah looks at Tom Hanks while he's listening to a speech. And she's like, there's no time like the now. I'm going to tell you my secret right now, but not here. And he's like, oh, okay, no problem.
Cool, let's get out of here.
So they just left the dinner. It's like, you didn't need to go in the first place.
No, but
if you can leave this early, then you didn't need to go.
Well, I mean, yeah,
and but who was he schmoozing with? He was only talking about I'm getting married later.
I think he thought it would be impressive also to her to like this. Look, we're at a dinner where the president is. I don't know. I think that's what he was thinking.
Well, because he was saying we can go now, and he's like, we have the dinner with the president tonight.
Yeah, he's like,
and
yeah,
it made
we'll
it seem
there.
Like it's going to be like the four of them.
Yeah, yeah, like
the first lady,
like we're sitting down with the president.
And then, yeah,
we have matters to discuss.
But it's everybody's there. So anyway, those rolls looked so good.
Yeah, they did.
The bread rolls looked amazing.
They always do.
I want to eat any food from that guy that was like, oh, how come you have a broken arm? He probably runs a great kitchen.
I think so.
Okay, so anyway, so she's like not here. They're waiting for the valet. Eugene Levy sees her and he says, there she is. And he sprays her with all the water in the world. Tom Hanks is rightfully asking, like, holy shit, what's going on? And then right here in the middle of New York City, here's a mermaid.
On the sidewalk,
Eugene
just
Levy
flopping
is,
around.
Yeah, she's
tail
got,
out.
She's got her dress on. She's got her tail out.
Yeah.
Eugene Levy's like, ha ha, she's a mermaid.
Exonerated.
Like I told you. Yeah. Two men carry her off. They get her in a limo. Tom Hanks. This is a pretty normal reaction. He's like, what the fuck?
He's just like he's frozen. Just like,
yeah.
This chick's. I was just going to marry this broad who's a fish. What's going on here?
That's why you should ask a lot of fucking questions.
This is why, yeah. This is why I said condoms are important right here. You don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't want to procreate with anybody who doesn't fucking ask questions.
You don't want your kid to have fins, probably.
Anyway, well, why not?
And gills? I don't know. That looks uncomfortable. What if I want him to live on land? It's like, you know.
But
this
what
is,
if you could have dual citizenship?
This is more per... That'd be great.
And
well, that'd be the best
well,
of all
like
worlds.
Well, because like in Little Mermaid 2, that's what they have. What she if, can become yeah. a mermaid and go back
but
and hang
if,
out with her
what
family.
What if you mix the two? They come out some horrid mutant that has like half leg, half fin things that they can't swim or walk and all can do is flop like a tadpole and they have to take it.
I am assuming that the...
What happens
that,
then?
That the mermaid
huh?
lore of... Ron Howard and whoever
the
fuck is watching is writing this. I'm assuming that there's no bad.
You never know is what I'm saying. You got to be careful.
Well, what's going to happen now? Because now he's not even a fish. He's
it doesn't
a human
matter.
That's like.
Well, we're going to find out.
I think he's
he can't fuck her anyway. She's got a fin. There's no
we
there's no hole
know.
In her fin.
We don't know how they.
How would she poop then? Is there like a fin butthole? Like a mermaid bottom hole? Because I'm sure
I'm
if there's
saying.
Any hole, he'll stick it in there. I'm not saying he won't. I'm
okay.
saying he'll find somewhere.
Don't be
but
gross.
Can he reproduce with her is my point.
That, yeah, there's
does
a
she
lot
have
of
to
questions.
Lay eggs now that he then has to jerk off on? How does this work now? I'm wondering the science here.
I wanted to wonder the science, and you told me that it was silly.
Is he like then in the beginning before now it's important because now it's happening.
No, it's always been important.
I mean, does he have to like fertilize her eggs? Or
it's
can
been
he...
important since the moment that they laid eyes on each
I mean,
other.
I guess she could jerk him off, probably. I guess that's still fine. But underwater, with the what else can she do? I'm trying to think of what
when
they
she
can
was
do.
A child mermaid, she wanted to recruit him, and I don't know if he's going to get fins. Or I don't know what's happening.
Can they pop
but
up on
is,
land?
This is clearly like an I Dream of Jeannie type situation where he's...
You're right.
I don't even know. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so they get her in a limo.
Ask him.
They're running. They're testing Tom Hanks to see if he's a mermaid. They put Daryl Hannah in the tank with him. And...
Yeah, he's a little freaked out.
He's a little jumpy. And she's like, listen, you said whatever my secret was, you'd understand. Now, okay. Yes, but. Hannah. It's yes, I'm trying to understand, but it's a little weird.
And
right
then
now
she even says, like,
mermaid.
Well, yeah, I guess you thought at least I was human.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can handle any human problem you had.
The scientist who was Dr. Ross, who's Eugene Levy's mentor or whatever, says that Tom, I love this line, he's obviously a man. He's been in water for 12 hours. So he would be pruny as shit.
Oh, he'd be a shriveled disaster.
He'd
have his skin to be peeling off his body. I assume it's salt water, too.
So he's assaulted. They let him go. They tie up his, they cover his eyes and they tie him up and they put him in a van and then they, put him outside by his apartment.
Yeah,
and, like,
shove him out
later.
In front of his building.
Tom Hanks is assaulted by the press outside of his apartment. They're asking him a bunch of crazy questions like, did you have to have sex with it? How did you have sex with it?
Did you have to have sex underwater?
Yeah, did you have to have sex underwater? I told that, she likes to eat this or like whatever.
She eat worms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Candy drives up and comes and rescues him. He's like, is anybody here from Penthouse Magazine? No. So leave him alone.
Says, we're done here then. We have
we're
nobody.
We're done here.
We won't speak to any of you.
Which that's a good thing. Maybe that's what I would say If I was ever, like, if people were assaulting me, I'd be like, I will only speak to this, that would be, this publication.
I will only speak to fucking Cherry Magazine. That's the only one I'll speak to. I will only speak to fucking Blacktail Monthly. Nothing else.
I would...
No
I
one else.
I would just make a declarative statement. I would pick a random publication, and if anybody wants to ask me any questions, I would be like, you know what? Definitively, this is the only people that I will talk to.
The
talk
dirtiest filth magazine you can think of.
Yeah.
Pick that one and be like, that's I will only talk to women who pee on old ladies magazine.
Oh.
That's it.
That's a weird magazine.
See, that'd be the weirdest one. They'd be like, whoa. And then while they're processing that, you can get away.
Yeah.
That's the point.
But that's how we're getting away from the press, everyone. We're just, or you know what? Even just like if your relatives are asking you a bunch of questions, like, hey, how come you're not married yet or anything like that? Like, I will only speak to Penthouse magazine.
I mean, that's it.
Fuck you, Grandma. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so Tom Hanks is very upset. Oh, John Candy, one of my other favorite lines from him. What's the matter? You haven't seen a man who slept with a fish before?
Yeah.
Because everybody's staring.
I've never seen a guy slept with a fish before.
Everyone at the produce place is staring at Tom Hanks, and he's, you know, he's very upset about where he is in his life, right? Because everyone else can go out and meet somebody and fall in love with them, and, you know, it's someone human, and, you know, how come this has to happen to me?
Yeah.
John Candy is here to put things in perspective.
He gives this big Silent Bob moment here, where he puts it all in the...
I'll never be that happy, so don't think that I'm happy. I'm never going to be that happy.
Yeah.
So, that type of thing.
You were happy with that chick. Hey, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never be that happy, so what are you bitching about?
Yeah.
Go find her.
Daryl Hannah is in the tank and her tail is all flaking and she looks pale. Eugene Levy is upset with the conditions that she's staying in. And yeah, it kind of does, you know, shed a light on how sad animals are in zoo exhibits
and also
in SeaWorld.
Well, clearly they said they were going to.
Like that would be very depressing to just sit in a tank all day.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think she was surprised. This is different water or something.
This is different water. The pH is all fucked up. I think also, like, she's coming up on, like, 5 or 6 days of...
Yeah. And then they said they were going to basically, essentially dissect her.
Yeah, they're like, we're doing blood tests on her. Mm. I'd like to look at her pulmonary system and blah, blah, blah.
Reproductive organs and all that.
And Eugene Levy calls Dr. Ross a sadistic pig. She looks absolutely miserable. Eugene Levy feels really bad. He goes over to her tank and he takes his glasses off. That's how bad that he feels.
Oh,
he's looking right into her eyes. And you can tell that he's going to find out how he's going to get her out of there.
Well, and then he doesn't. Then he just goes to the dentist.
Well, he's got to go to the dentist first because somebody punched him in the mouth.
That's all. So he's just going to go to the dentist. And Tom Hanks fixes it himself.
He says that... But the nice thing is that he doesn't want any Novocaine because he says that he deserves pain.
I don't deserve any painkiller.
I deserve pain. Tom Hanks busts open the door. He's just there to talk. He says to Eugene Levy, "You destroyed my life, Corn Bluth." And the funny thing is that Tom Hanks apparently also knows exactly who Eugene Levy is and what his schedule is.
How the fuck would he know where his dental appointment is?
Yeah.
He drags him out kicking and screaming.
Well, I guess he could probably ask somebody like, where's Corn Bluth? But like, who is he going to ask?
Yeah, who?
So anyway, Eugene Levy goes to take Tom Hanks to see Daryl Hannah. John Candy, Tom Hanks, and Eugene Levy are all wearing lab coats to go into the room to go find her. I believe John Candy as a scientist and as a Swedish man.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I just do.
So the one guy speaks some Swedish, the guard.
Yeah.
And they get out of it. He wants to hear them say something. It's like one of those old World War II tests.
Yeah, what are you two Swedish scientists doing not in Sweden?
And John Candy tells him in Swedish that he has a 12-inch penis.
Because of all the porns that he's watched.
Yeah, so the guy smiles and, come on in, and pats him on the back. And he says, you see these movies a few hundred times. It starts to sink in.
So they got Daryl Hannah out of the tank.
Yeah.
They have her all covered up and it's Tom Hanks and Eugene Levy and they're both carrying. I love that. Eugene Levy has one working arm.
Yeah.
And they're in there and they're like, the monster shot lasers out of her eyes.
And, they were going to carry Tom Hanks and a one-armed Eugene Levy are going to carry John Candy.
Yeah. And then the guard is like, oh, this is John Candy. That checks out.
Yeah.
I'd be like, whoa, the big guy? He turned into half the weather. Like, don't look at his face, man. He's like, holy shit. Should I call the Pentagon? It's like, what do you want to,
start a national crisis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dr. Ross comes in with the Swedish doctors and John Candy is just in the room
sitting on top of the tank.
And he's smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about Eugene Levy helping them is that he knows that Dr. Ross is coming back with Swedish doctors.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
all the guards are like, oh, wait, isn't Dr. Ross coming back with the Swedish doctors? He's like, no, he asked me to do it. So I get that part. You can add, like that. You can totally get away that, that way. That was a genius. But I just didn't understand why John Candy was in the room.
Where was he going to go?
He's like smoking a cigar.
Yeah,
but like, that's what I mean. It's like, why didn't, why wasn't it just like they're carrying Eugene Levy and then he's in there?
I mean, yeah, that would have made more sense.
Get them out.
That would have made more sense, but apparently
then
Eugene
Levy is like the same size as. Like,
I agree. Yeah, it's, I agree. But I think Eugene Levy knows the guard, so I think that was the point of him going, oh, we got to get her out. We got to get him out of here.
Yeah,
I think
that's
that was
true.
What it would look suspicious if two people that they don't even know ran
out. He's just smoking a cigar and fishing in there, and he's just like, what's up, boys? Like, you know, whatever. I'm like, you're going to get arrested now. Like, why didn't you try to like hide and then like get out of there? And
didn't care.
It's almost like he's like, I don't even know. He's like taunting them, but they had no idea who John Candy was.
No, they're like, who the fuck is this weird fat guy smoking
like,
a cigar?
Who are you? Like, they're not even like, ah, John Candy. Like, They're like Freddie Bauer.
Well, this is him having fun. I think that's what it was. It's just his character having fun, but using it for good and not evil this time
he's
for once.
Fishing in the
Well, there's nothing in the
There's a high-speed chase through New York City with the army and like the Coast Guard and they're chasing
troop carriers like fucking five-star Grand Theft Auto, like when they come after you like that, like it was troop carriers with army people spilling out of them going through Manhattan. No one's looking twice at that.
Yeah, so no one's looking twice at it. And this movie is a really, this scene in particular is a really great commercial for the BMW because it can evade army trucks.
Oh man, this
it
thing
can navigate through New York City like nobody's
zipping.
Business. It's awesome. And I love that they put Daryl Hannah in the car and she immediately takes off all of her stuff like, oh, okay. And I'm like, don't you know to like keep yourself covered until you get away from, so that people don't know what kind of car to identify?
Nobody saw them anyway. They knew to go after his car.
So anyway, the army guy wants the cab driver to move out of the way. Up yours. She
waiting for a fare.
Daryl Hannah has to go back to the sea. She says to Tom Hanks, like, you can come with me.
And they go to the end of this pier, and this is the big moment.
Yeah, she says, you can come with me. And he's like, well, okay, cool. I'll just do that, and I'll come home, and I'll see Freddy for Christmas.
He's like, it's like a moment. Come home and see Freddy on Christmas.
And she says, no, you can't. You can never go back. So she jumps in the water. She gets her fins, and, you know, the Coast Guard is...
The army's coming to grab Tom Hanks.
And they're coming to grab Tom Hanks, and they're trying to go get Daryl Hannah, too. And so that the doctor can, like, I don't know, examine her, I guess. But, like, the helicopter, they're jumping in the water, and then Tom Hanks decides, like, okay, I'm coming with you. So he goes and he runs. But I didn't think that he was going with her forever. I thought he was, like, trying to, like, save her.
Literally 30 seconds before that, they explained, if you do this, then you're gone forever. What was he going to do? He can't even swim. What's he going to fend off military guys in the water?
Well, because she did say to him, she's like, do you remember when you fell?
Yeah.
That was me. Like, literally, like 30 seconds ago,
she's like,
do you remember when you were eight? And she's like, you remember how you were okay? That was because you were with me.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was you? And she's like, that was me.
Yeah,
and then he's like, oh my God, you know, whatever.
Totally.
So then she jumps in the water, and then I guess he just trusts that.
Yeah, he jumps
in. He's like,
okay,
I guess like she'll just take care of me.
Yeah, he sees the army people come and he's like, well, I'm going to get arrested and all this sort of shit and my life sucks. Or I can have this chicken live under the water. So he fucking jumps into the water.
And, okay.
They fight off the Coast Guard.
No other rom-com could ever, all right? Because now we've got a fucking underwater fight. The Coast Guard, they're all like circling in on them. They've all got their scuba gear and their fins and their flippers and whatever. And Daryl Hannah's like, you know, kicking him in the nuts.
She's hitting people in the nuts, with the tail and slapping.
She's ripping off their oxygen tanks, and she's ripping off their scuba gear, like the snorkels and shit.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks is biting people, and I'm like, oh man, no rom-com could end with a gorgeous, glorious underwater fight where they get to swim off, and turtles are kind of annoying. We say hi to them, but like they're kind of annoying. Like they're swimming off, and then it's just assumed
after an army troop chases them through fucking New York City. That never happens.
Nobody then, else comes and gets them. They just kill those people. And
well, then once
just...
they're kind of underwater, they're under. What are you going to find underwater? How are you going to fucking find somebody underwater?
That's what I mean.
So they're gone. That's it. So underwater is the only place you can really hide. And they're under there, and they're just swimming around, and they're swimming
there,
through, holding hands,
smiling.
Yeah, he's like, look at the fish over here, and she's like, yeah, there's fish, and I'm like, yeah, that's great, and all. Then what?
Yeah,
then what happens?
Well, there is
he's
a
not
sequel,
be fucking
and it's
bored.
Called Splash 2. Splash, I mean, comma, T-O-O.
He's not going to be fucking bored down there? Like, after a while, look around, oh, this is pretty cool, but then he's going
to
sit at the end.
Wanted to be a fish.
He's going to sit at the end of the night, like it's in a hotel room, and he's going to be like, now what?
Yeah. And then does he have the same thing where, like, he needs to use his legs?
He's,
like, you know, he's
going to
go in the bathtub and he's going to...
He's always got legs.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's what I mean. He can't, but he's not allowed to go on dry land. The fucking rules are really messed up, but who cares?
A lot of questions. A lot of questions. We do see, James, at the end of the movie, we do see, like, the mermaid land, like, you know, it's like Atlantis type thing, like where...
Yeah, like this blurry kind of...
And I don't know if you saw this. It was
other
like,
mer-people live there, maybe?
It was like, well, we didn't see any.
That's what I mean. I'm assuming, hopefully.
I don't know if you also saw this.
What?
Down there with Atlantis. Did you see it?
What was that?
It was the Heigl-meter.
To the Heigl-meter!
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the most punishing movie you've ever seen, the worst movie you've ever seen, awful, awful, awful. 1 Heigl, not that bad.
Yeah.
James, since this was your pick... And also, I think it's yours, just your turn in general. There's no science behind how I do it. I think I just do it every other week. James, why don't you go first?
I'm good. This is an easy one for me. Zero Heigls. It's a wonderful movie.
Zero.
You should watch it. It's enjoyable. If you are not, if you're like younger, the pace might bother you because like movies now start out in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're just dropped into this like plot. Like this is a movie where like they go into it, they set up who this guy is, and there's a set up and you know they don't meet at the police station there until 31 minutes into this movie, so
it's a while.
You have to you invest in everything so you know who everybody is, so that might bother people, but you know what, if you don't like it, fuck off, because it's great.
Yeah,
it's a fucking great movie. It's really funny. 100 funny lines. It's got Eugene Levy, Tom Hanks, and fucking John Candy, who are three treasures. I was gonna say national, but one of them, at least one of them's Canadian. I think Eugene Levy's Canadian too.
Yeah, they're both Canadian.
So two out of three are Canadian, so they're not national treasures.
Well, they're national treasures.
North American treasures.
Well. Okay,
there
that's
you
good.
Go.
North American treasures.
They're treasures to the whole world. Anybody would think John
Global
Candy's funny.
Treasure.
You don't have to speak English even. He's
even
fucking hilarious.
Even to the mer people.
Even to the mer people, zero Heigls. And how say you?
I say zero Heigls as well. It's just a delightful motion picture. I love this movie. It was fun. I did have a lot of questions about the science of everything, but that's okay. I was along for the ride.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Definitely. For listening to
listening.
For watching, if you watch that movie, definitely.
You should watch it. Why not? What else are you going to do?
I think you should probably give us a review on Apple
Podcasts. You should
Podcast.
Also give us a review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, if you enjoyed our take of it. If not, just move on with your life.
Absolutely.
Not that big of a deal. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/ You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We do bonus episodes every other week on Patreon, patreon.com/ You Got Heigled, same spelling, spame selling. That's what I was just going to say. Oh my God. Also, if you want to donate, make a one-time donation, we're YouGotHeigled@gmail.com for PayPal.
Yep.
Like I said, we're going to talk Below Deck.
Yeah, we're going to talk all the controversy going on.
All the controversy
on
Below
man.
Deck this week. And then we
Captain
have...
Sandy's going to get some today.
If you want to follow me, I'm Twitter and Instagram at Sarah H is funny, S-A-R-A-H, H is funny. And also I have books on Amazon. They're called Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, and then also Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. Buy those on Amazon. I think they're also on BarnesandNoble.com. And I have them on Kindle. I'm working
and
on
they're
the,
funny, damn it.
Working on the
Read
audiobook.
Them.
I'm working on a cookbook. I'm
Ooh,
doing
yeah.
a lot of shit here. But right
cookbook.
Now I want to hear about how I can contact you, James.
Just I'm at Jimmy P is funny. You'll find me on there. And you can even listen to other podcasts that I'm on, like Crime and Sports every Tuesday and Small Town Murder every Thursday. We appreciate you guys doing that. So thank you, guys.
We appreciate it, and we appreciate you, and we appreciate this movie this
week.
We do. I think we really appreciated this movie.
I loved it.
So, that being said, go Heigl yourselves.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.